we're back with another podcast with Raging Butterfly. I was trying to, I forgot what your gym name was for a second. Jesus Christ. And the caveman. The butterfly and the caveman all day. So, how's your day today?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Did you poop your pants today?
No.
Did you pee in your pants?
I almost peed my pants.
Yeah.
Actually, more almost fell.
Almost fell? What were you doing?
The ropes course.
What ropes course? You gotta remember, we're on a podcast. People don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, we did the ropes course at Riverworks today.
What did you think?
I was really scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's really fun to do. It's just a little terrifying at times.
So basically what this course is it's elevated walkways, and you're walking over platforms. Some of them are not very supported. They're just hanging on strings, so they move as you walk on them.
Yeah.
They're mostly wood. There's chains we had to walk over. That was probably the scariest part for me, is getting over the chains.
The scariest part for me was definitely either the X's. There was like an X platform with three like horizontal pieces of wood, and then there's crossing pieces of woods that are longer, and they attach to the corners of the end horizontal pieces, and it's really hard because they're all really narrow, and it's like hard to find your footing. But there are two ropes on either side because they're holding up the X's, so it's a little easier if you do that because it helps you balance.
Right, and I was giving you encouragement as you went over. Did that help at all?
Yeah, it helped a lot, actually.
Well, especially when I was giving you instructions of where to put your hands and stuff.
Yeah.
Did that help?
Yeah, it made me less terrified, and it helped me at times.
Yeah, cool. I'm really proud of the way that you did. I took a snap of it, and on a snap, I said it's the proudest moment I ever had as a dad, and that might be the truth, dude, man. I'm really proud of you. Like, you really confronted your fears. I could see how scared you were, especially when you said we were on the middle of the course, and I know you're as frugal as I am, and I had already paid for us to do both courses, and you're like, you saw those hanging logs on the second course, and you're like, I don't think I want to do that, Dad.
That was really scary, too. So there are like three really scary parts, or I think there were four. The chains, the just chains, the X's, and then there was this course. Then there was this part where there were like two really like small like log pieces, but they move a lot, and they're really small, so it's hard to get 2 feet on them. And they
so imagine they like a tree about I don't know, I'd say 3.5 inches round, and you chop it into maybe an 1/8-inch section. Those are what you're walking over. They're suspended by ropes through the middle, so not only do they swing when you step on them forward and back, they also tilt forward and back.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of play, and it goes a lot of different angles all at once. So you need to really maintain your balance and not fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you step on them, they dip down.
Yeah.
Because the ropes that you're standing on go taut. So there's a lot of different directional forces on it.
And then the last scary one is the one is this course, and there's a bunch of vertical pieces of wood all together, and it was harder for me since I was short. But basically what you have to do is there's handholds and there's feet holds, so you have to use the handholds and the feet holds all the way across to the other side. And it doesn't really sound hard, but it's really scary since you're suspended, and it's actually hard since you have to step really far to get to the next one.
Right. And I have to say, while you're doing all this, you are belayed. So if you fall, you have a carabiner attached to a rope that's going to be attached to the other rope, so you won't fall and die.
No.
I had a really good time. And at one point, you were bound up on those wooden planks. You couldn't go either way, and you're like, I'm stuck. And you started to panic. Can you walk me through that moment?
Which one are you talking about again?
The one with the handholds and the footholds we went across, and that time you got stuck about two planks over, and you're like, I don't know if I can do this.
Was that the one where we were just starting that one?
Yeah, we just started it.
Oh, yeah. I just had to walk back. I just had to take another step back. The reason why I said, oh, no, is because I didn't fit. And it's really scary since you're suspended. And I was scared of the parts in the middle since to me they felt narrow.
Mm-hmm.
But they really weren't. except for the last one before the zip line. They were all really narrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was a little scared there. But I knew what to do after. I had to put my left foot on first.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the dismounts were really scary.
Yeah. The only one I was a little freaked out on was the tube one.
The tube dismount?
Yeah. Because it was weird. Because it felt like the tube was going away from underneath you when you stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little freaky. But I did notice it's all like a game of mind of your mind, because even though you lose your balance, it feels like you're going to fall. You're really not going to fall because you have the ropes in your hand.
Yeah.
So even if you fell, you could still regain your balance. But it feels scary because you're elevated and you really feel like you're going to lose your balance, because it's all balance drills. But you can cheat and hang on, but the ropes that you're hanging on to move as well. So it doesn't really help you hold your balance, but it's going to prevent you from falling. So you get the feeling like you're going to fall, but intellectually, after maybe two or three events, not events, but two or three different challenges, obstacles to get across, I was already at the point where I wasn't really scared going across the obstacles anymore. But I do want to bring this to light. At times, the obstacles weren't even the scariest part for you. Can you talk about why you were scared on the platforms?
Well, like I said, the platforms felt really narrow, and usually sometimes the platforms were close to the sides, so you didn't really see the shorter drop. You saw the big drop, to where if you weren't harnessed, you would definitely die. So, yeah. And it just didn't feel like, I think part of it too was you're in swinging obstacles so long that when you hit solider ground, it doesn't feel right.
Right. I was not scared at all on those. I felt very, very safe. So it was an interesting dynamic between the two of us having different fears and, I don't know, as such. Go ahead.
I think another asset, though, when I was doing the course was the soccer game. So when we were close to the soccer game and on the closer to the left side of where we were facing, on the left side of the course, when I needed to calm down, I could just, when we were on the platforms, or even when, I was on an obstacle where I wouldn't fall if I just stopped, it helped me to just pay more attention to the soccer game for a minute and then go back to the obstacle.
You were really scared on the obstacles, right?
Yeah.
What did you tap into yourself that lets you get through the obstacles?
I think I took advantage of my fear, and I kind of used it to at a certain point before you mentioned the intellectual thing on the course, it's like, I might, like, even with the thing, I might drop and hurt myself because of the harness
mm-hmm.
is really tight. So I think, and then also the feeling like you're going to fall on thigh part, I think I kind of used that to propel myself. And I just, like, felt scared. And I think I think the pressure of being scared helped me make sure I didn't, like, mess up.
So it made sure you messed up and made you continue on? It made you not want to freeze?
Yeah, because I knew if I fell, I'd be, like, I was afraid of falling. I think I used the fear of falling off there to make sure I would stay on and not, like, I didn't want to become too I think I used it to not be nonchalant and, like, know that if I fall, I'm going to be safe, and instead said, I don't want to fall, so.
Did it help to you when I reminded you that intellectually it feels like we're going to fall, but I pointed out up there that you're hanging onto the ropes and feels like you're going to fall, but you're really not because you can use it to keep your balance. Did that help at all? Not really.
Not really. I kept using the fear, but I used it in a different way. I think I just didn't want to fall and have the harness, like, hurt.
Well, you went across the zip line. Did the harness hurt then?
Nope. It felt a little tight, but when I was ziplining, I didn't put my feet down, and I was really having trouble because I was overthinking landing on the platform. Because the platform is a straight horizontal platform, but there's also a diagonal that's coming down. So when I was...
So really, it's slanted about 45 degrees, I would say.
Yeah, it's slanted 45 degrees, and then there's a horizontal platform that the 45-degree angle connects to. So when I was landing, I was like, how am I going to land since
if you guys play Fortnite, imagine the stair steps. We were building the stairs.
Yeah.
That's the shape.
It's like... I was overthinking the landing too much, since I was, since I felt like I was too short to where if I let my legs go down, I wouldn't land right on the 45 degree angle. And by the time I saw the flat platform, I think it was a little too late, and I just ended up going backwards.
And then you were dangling on the rope. How did that feel?
It felt scary for like half a second, and then it felt scary for half a second. Then like I think me not dropping helped. And then I figured out the way to get back. Like you had to keep replacing your hand on the rope while you were moving, so you wouldn't bust up your hand and you could keep moving. But then the guy just came and helped me do it since he has longer arms and knows how to do it better.
I almost belayed right into you because I saw you get across, and then I put my thing on because you have to actually put your line, your zip line on.
Yeah, it's really complicated.
And you have to hook your, I got yours too, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to hook your carabiner into the zip line. And then while I was doing all that, I didn't see you slide backwards. I just saw you, I stopped watching as soon as you got to the steps. And then I went to go, and I seen that you were still stuck there. Guy's like, stop, you know? And I'm like, oh, my God. And then I watched you get rescued, so that was pretty, it was interesting. I was laughing a little bit.
I think I could have gotten back, even if the guy wasn't there.
Yeah, you would have got back.
Because I figured out how to do it myself.
I would have slid into you and knocked you back. So I was getting impatient.
Like back to back? Because you went backwards.
Yeah, I ended up turning around, going down the zip line. I don't know what made that. And then I was going fast enough, I was scared to grab the line because of the metal line.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to touch it to right myself, so I just put my feet down backwards. But it was kind of cool because I got to watch the soccer game going, and I got turned around so I could still watch the soccer game as I landed. It was a really cool feeling. It wasn't really that high. I ziplined over 300 feet before, 300 feet up in the air, and that was a lot cooler.
Yeah,
and
once you sit down after half a second, you realize the line is, like, strong enough to where it's not going to feel like you're coming down every...
Yeah, really the only scary part is sitting down and just letting go.
Yeah.
You know? It's even scarier when you're doing it over the top of a mountain and you're zipping down 300 feet. Down 300 feet. That was pretty cool at Snake Mountain. And then we rappelled down the mountain, too. So, like, one you zip down and one you rappel down, that was really fun.
How did you, like, not, like, freak out?
I don't know, because I was belayed. As long as I'm, as long as I intellectually know that I'm not going to get hurt, like I'm belayed off, I don't really have that much fear.
I think...
go ahead.
I think that it's easier when you have a zip line that goes down, up from down, because then if you miss the landing spot like I did, since you're clumsy, you won't go back up, and you'll still be able to just drop down.
Yeah. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have been able to do what you did when I was your age. So I'm very, very impressed by your courage and your
Even if I was doing all the stuff that you were doing and like our places were switched?
I don't know, because I never grew up with a father. Mm-hmm. Right? So I only grew up with my mom. Me and your mom spent a lot of time interacting with you. Even though it feels like we don't spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
You have so much more parent and parent time than I ever did growing up. That, like, you're an entirely different kid. Because my mom cared about me and she liked to do this stuff. But she was a single mom. She worked all the time. And then she had to do all the stuff around the house. Mm-hmm. You know, I did more chores than you did. But, you know, Grandma Mary did a lot more around the house. She did gardening. She did always house repairs and stuff. And, you know. All kinds of other crazy stuff. So
that's what you gotta do when you don't have when you don't have a significant other and you have a child. It's really difficult because you have to take care of your kid and you have to do all this stuff that your significant other could do before. Like, and if your kid is really little, like you have a baby and you're a single parent, I mean, it's even harder since your kid can't help you.
Just think about all the times you're either home with just mom or me. So if you just live with mom, you'd be sitting home alone for a week right now. Yeah. Or with Lala. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just how your life would be. It'd be different. So I didn't have the structure. I think you're more mature a little bit because of that. And you get feedback into your behavior, which is something I never had growing up. So that's why I always try and take these moments when I can talk to you about stuff like this and, you know, like talk to you about it.
Yeah. And then you use humor to make it not so serious all the time.
Yeah. I have a real hard time with being serious because... Like, I feel real preachy when I'm serious. I don't feel like my role is to be preachy. And mom's role is kind of that preachy role, be right, do all this stuff. And she does it better than me. I feel like a hypocrite when I tell you to be, like, good. Because, you know, I wasn't always the best kid. And I haven't always been the best behaved kid. And I think being good is very important. And having a strong moral fiber like you do.
Yeah.
Is something that I developed over time. Mm-hmm. And you just have it. You already have. I don't know if mom instilled in you. Me and mom together instilled in you. Or you're just born with it.
I think it's a lot of, since you don't drink and you don't do drugs, and then, starting to go to Sunday Funday, or having you and mom, like, give me the insight that Mr. Mustafa gives you, it really helps me, like, with all of that, all together, with you and mom being, well, you don't drink or do drugs, you have, like, and you bend the rules a little bit sometimes, but you don't break, like, laws.
Right.
You
maybe, I break some laws. I speed.
Yeah. Well, you don't break any serious laws. And then mom drinks most of the time in moderation, but she has a good moral. She has good, she knows how to behave well and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't get that, huh? I don't know how to behave well.
Well,
I've bent rules a little bit.
You know how to behave well, but you... Yeah.
I don't. That's all right. You can say it.
Okay. But, yeah. And then with Sunday Funday and having those lectures,
mm-hmm.
listening to them or you guys telling me what they were about, I think those helped me too because Mr. Mustafa is really wise and he helps all of us, like, on our views, I think, except for mom, because sometimes they argue a lot instead of, yeah. In the winter, weren't we there till it was, like, dark since it's winter and it gets dark at, like, 5?
Yeah, we were there till 5 last week, actually, with Mr. Mustafa talking.
Yeah. At least it's all, like, constructional and it's not just chatter.
No, it's not. They're not...
Well, it's more constructive than just talking about
like,
events.
Arguing might not really be the exact word for it. I would say
debating
would be a much better word because they're not really arguing. They're coming at the same problem from two different points of view, and they're both bending on certain things, mm-hmm. and they're both unwilling to bend on certain things. So it makes an interesting dynamic. It'd actually be a good podcast to listen to. I know Mr. Mustafa doesn't like that. But,
yeah, but, I mean, it's constructive.
It would be great to,
It's like a constructive argument. Mm-hmm. And a nice construct, like, a nice tune. It's a nice constructive argument.
Right. And then I fall somewhere in between the two of them most of the time, too.
Yeah.
I think they're, a lot of times, they're both a little bit wrong. But, see, everyone is going to have a different viewpoint on stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm more of that libertarian view. Even though I hate to say that, I'm
what
a libertarian.
Is that?
That means you kind of just want to let everyone do their own thing.
Yeah.
Not really their own thing, as long as it's lawful, you know. And that the government should only make laws against really important things like theft and violence and
mm-hmm.
not against like drug use and stuff like that. I think there needs to be a lot of personal freedom to have a country like this.
Why do you hate saying that you're like that? Like, do you think it's hypocritical when you... say that?
Here's the thing, like, I think a big part of the politics, it's not hypocritical saying that, because I would say my beliefs align most on more libertarian party lines than they do on Republican or Democrat right now, but I think a big part of the problem in politics and the world in general is we get married to these certain ideas that we have to follow. Like, if I'm a Republican, I have to toe the line on Republicans. If I'm a Democrat, I toe the line on Democrats. I'm just Jeff. This is Jeff's opinions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And my opinions don't represent anyone else because every one of us has our own unique, different stories that shapes and molds mm-hmm. us, right? And as long as we come together on a common goal, we have the same interests at heart, and, you know, we live in a country where the majority should rule. Even if we don't agree with that majority, you know?
I think, unfortunately, what you were talking about, how Republicans and Democrats feel like they have to completely align with those views. I think since most of the time neither of those parties agree with each other, and serious politicians and serious political people are like that, I think that's why our country seems so torn apart. But if you ignore the politics and all the political people, and you look at people like you, who you or mom or who aren't very political, I think that the majority of the world is actually, besides the all the politics and the political people, most of the people in the world are pretty good people.
Well, yeah, I heard this great thing on Jordan Peterson's podcast with Joe Rogan, and you know, Jordan Peterson's got some good points and bad points, just like everything else. But he identified the right as like a triangle, like a food triangle. You know, you have your grains, fruits, vegetables, all that stuff. And with the triangle of the right wing people and the Republicans, they put everything into categories. And, you know, this is important, this is important, and this is important. And, you know, it's a hierarchical system. So, you know, there's a hierarchy to it. You start at the bottom, there's the worst and the best. And then the Democrats and left-wing people, they are the opposite of that. They are the people that don't fit into any one of those categories or branches. So the right always is going to go too far to the right because they're always going to leave the people out that don't fit into the system. That's what the Republicans are going to do. Mm-hmm. The left...
is more of a circle, like everything is together.
The left is always going to call the right out on it. But there's no way for the left to check itself. So the left is always going to continue to get more and more leftist because there's nothing, there's no hierarchy for them to break down or get through. So they're always going to just keep going and going and going and going. I'm not doing a very good job explaining this. We can actually listen to podcasts because there's not much swearing in it. Well, I actually play it for you. And if you're listening to this, it's a great podcast to check out. I don't know if you can find just a clip of it, but if you can, I mean, that whole thing's like 3.5 hours, but that one part's like 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, because like so basically what you're saying is that in the triangle of the Republicans, the worst is the bottom and the best is at the top and all that. And then the left side just doesn't like that. But since there's nobody to tell them that, there's nobody to tell them that they're going too far or anything, or to stop them and tell them to have their own ideals. They just become more and more against the right.
Well, they have their ideals, but then if they don't fit into the ideals there, they can just splinter off again. You know what I mean? Because there's no nice, neat triangle. They're just all over the place. There's nothing holding them in the triangle. And the right is always going to exclude the people from the triangle, and the triangle is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, right? Yeah. But the right can kind of fix itself because it can make the triangle bigger. The left can't really fix itself. But
so do you think
Jordan Peterson is more of a Republican than a Democrat. So he could be, and like his explanation, maybe it doesn't make the most sense because he's saying Republicans can fix it and Democrats can't. But that's another thing where his personal views may be impeding on that. So when you listen to these podcasts or you listen to any of the stuff that we talk about, try not to form an opinion on what you hear.
Because basically what he's saying is that the right can be wrong but fix itself, and the left can be wrong but they'll just stay wrong.
It can be right, but it can't fix itself and eventually be wrong.
Yeah.
So he's saying the left has good ideas too.
Yeah.
But then they go too far with them.
Yeah.
And they just carry on. Right. But like regardless of what I was saying, when you get information, always not only take the information at the face value, make sure that the information is right, also think about the source of where you're getting information from.
Mm-hmm. If that person's Republican or Democrat.
Not only that, like, why are they telling you this? What is their motive? What's going on? And you have to think about everything you hear from everybody you hear.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when we come home, we talk about Mustafa. He sees the world from a certain point of view. And I see the world from a different point of view. I like talking to Mustafa because I don't see his point of view, right? Mm-hmm. And when I see his point of view and I think about my life from his point of view, it changes how I think about my life. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like to have interesting, smart, analytical, diverse friends.
Mr. Mustafa is like the perfect coach.
He is a perfect coach.
He's a coach and he's like...
he's a mentor.
Yeah.
Right, that's what a real coach should be. Mm-hmm. A coach should make you better at whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
A coach should make you a better person. And a coach should enlighten you in life.
Is that part of your idea of becoming, like, of starting your own? So is that, like, your idea of starting your own gym to where you can devote more time to being like that? Instead of having to just coach the short amount of time that you have in class, not being really able to talk to your students as much?
Some of that. I mean, I like to have my own place somewhere where it's nice and warm and there's no one around. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I do want to do that. And there's some limits on what I can do mm-hmm. because...
Right now, you're tied to the gym.
Right now, I'm tied to the gym, and the gym is 100%... it's a great gym, and we want to do everything right, and we do our best to do everything right.
Yeah.
But there's different opinions about different people and different things and different ways to run the stuff, and there's a lot of adults around, and, you know, we always have to do what's best for the whole gym, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes what's best for the whole gym is not what's best for me, mm-hmm. or sometimes what's best for the whole gym is not best for the adults in the back because they got kids running around back there, you know what I mean? So we all have to push and give, and, you know, at the end of the day, Mr. Dub is the one that owns the gym. He's the one with all the money on the line, so he makes the final decisions, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be the guy that makes the final decisions until it's time to run the gym, right? So I don't really want to do it because I don't want to be the guy that Dub is running the gym, but at the same time, I want to do it because I want to run the kids program, you know, like that way.
Yeah, because if you could coach kids like that, you could really, you know how you're saying that, you know how you say that you, the point of the class is to protect the people that are getting bullied and, basically protect them. And then take the people that are bullies that come into your class and really, like, and change them into not bullies.
Right. Well, I'm doing that now anyways, but...
Yeah. But with the running your own place, you can, like, really devote a lot more time to that, right?
Running my own place? Here's the thing. I'd make a lot less money.
Yeah.
And don't let Mom hear this, but I would probably give away a lot of free memberships and do a lot of stuff I can't do here to help younger, impoverished kids and... Mm-hmm. Like, kids I like and all kinds of stuff like that. And I just can't do that right now. I can't. Yeah. I don't have the time. I don't have the effort. And the gym, you know, sometimes when you open up your doors, you put out your hand, you get burned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I get burned and it's on me, I don't have a problem with that. But if that hand that gets burned is Dub's hand, then it's my fault that Dub's hand got burned. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be part of that either. Because sometimes when you bring those kids in, there's going to be trouble. You know?
That's why you can't do this now.
Right. Or there's going to be fight. It's going to be a rougher place, right? It's going to have to be more separated, and the timing is going to have to be different. And there's just a lot of stuff that would have to be different.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of money in it, and it's kind of a passion of mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't force my passion on a gym owner, you know what I mean? It's my passion. So that's something I would like to do to help kids, but I'm not really at that point in my life yet because I still want to fight. I want you to be grown up, you know. This is for when you're gone, you know. And I got to fill that hole in my life that's gone when you're gone. You know what I mean? Because right now I have a lot of love to give you and you're going to take it, but when you're, I don't know, 20 or 50, the way things go on in today's world, and you finally leave the house and you're not around anymore.
When I'm 50, I'm
going to... Yeah, I'm just teasing you. But when you're gone and you're not around anymore, I'm going to have a hole to fill in my life. You know, like... Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing because you're going to grow up and you're going to be gone and your life's going to be better and it's going to be you. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to have my little buddy. Now you're going to be my son that's... you know, you're still always be my son, but you're going to be more of an equal than you are right now, you know? So I like to boss people around. And you know what? No matter what happens in your life... You're never going to be able to boss your wife around or your girlfriend around or, you know, any girl in your life around. So I'm screwed there, right? And I like to be the boss sometimes. And Tripper's not going to be around then either. And the next dog's going to be Mom's dog, so it's not going to listen to me either. So I need someone I can boss around. So that's pretty much why I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, I think that's a really good ideal to have, though.
Yeah.
The gym.
Mm-hmm. That
dream gym.
Yeah, it's not a dream gym. It actually would probably be worse than a gym now. Like, what I have right now is priceless.
Well,
it's, right? Because I can go in, I work with all these kids that are all decent, good kids. The bad kids don't really can't afford to come to the gym, or if they come to the gym, all the good kids get the bad kids right.
I don't mean it's like a dream, like really good gym. I mean, it's like,
oh, it's just, yeah, like a passion. Yeah.
It's a gym that can't happen. Mm-hmm. It's like more of a dream and intangible now than,
And to be honest, I'll probably never do that.
Yeah.
But I would like to.
If you ever like have the time and the effort, it'd be a really good thing for like the world.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to work like I work either.
No.
You know, I mean, I work, what, 20, the last 21 days? Like, I can't do that at the gym. It's just not possible. I'm working every day from now until September.
You wouldn't be able to do that with a job. You would have to be like,
I could have a job, but just not a full-time job. No, not like this.
You would have to have like a part-time job in the early, like in the morning.
I can't work like 50 to 70 hours a week and do it. You know, no. I need to have like 30 or 40 hour work week like a regular person.
I meant more like a part-time, like, you're like older and you're a red belt.
All right. I'll never be a red belt, but that's okay. All right. With that, we're over half hour. Let's get the flock out of here.
Yeah.
All right. I love you, man. Thank you for doing a course with me.
Doing the what?
The ropes course with me.
Oh.
From the bottom of my heart, man, it was one of my proudest moments of you. Yeah. Because I watched you confront your fears and overcome your emotions. It's something you struggle with your whole life so far. And, it was great to see. It made my day. It made my whole week. And I got there. I knew I was going to come home and do a podcast with you. We didn't talk about it before.
No.
Because I didn't want you to have the pressure of knowing that you had to come talk about it if you failed. But I was going to make you talk whether you passed or failed anyway. So if you would have like walked away and not done the second one, I would have been okay with it. I would have been a little bit disappointed on the inside. But I would have understood, because I'm not sure I would have even made it through the first course when I was your age. Like I said, I might have been paralyzed by fear.
Yeah.
Or I might have just been too stupid to know it was scary and just went right through it, one or the other. But what you did, it's impressive to me. You overcome your fears.
Yeah.
And I love to see that, dude. You're growing into a real man.
That's good.
Yeah. And you're wearing your Yoda shirt, so it's perfect. All right?
Yep.
All right. I love you, man.
Love you, too.
All right. Have a good one.